This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, what was the main message of the Holy Father Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday audience?
Yes, sure enough, it's Wednesday again, and the Holy Father gave his special catechesis, this time continuing that theme of discernment. So you may recall that he started this particular cycle back in September, and he talked today about what a good discernment really requires. And he says that one of the things that's key to it is self-knowledge. And he says self-knowledge is so important because it really takes into account all of our human faculties. And it involves our memory and our will, our affections, as well as our intellect. And he said that sometimes when we forget about God's presence in our lives, that's actually because we don't have that self-knowledge. And ignorance of self will lead to that if we don't understand our personality traits and the deepest desires of the heart. And he said that often people don't know how to discern simply because they don't know what they really want. He mentioned that people are often hiding behind a mask. And he said to know oneself, it's not difficult, but it is laborious. It does take a lot of work, and it needs a lot of what he called patient soul searching. And patient soul searching, he says, means you have to be able to stop in the busyness of life. You have to be able to deactivate the autopilot, he said. And then through that, to really look for an awareness in the ways that one acts or feelings or even thoughts that are coming unconsciously into your mind all the time. And so how do you do this? Well, today the Holy Father said that one of the great ways to encourage self-knowledge is through a thoughtful examination of conscience. And he said that the examination of conscience helps a person to what he called reread what happens each day. And when this rereading process is occurring, this is a time for a person to note choices that were made throughout the day, what one gave the most importance to, what one spent the most amount of time on, for example, and to ask those questions. What am I looking for? Why am I looking for this? And to also learn what is satisfying the heart. So ultimately, Pope Francis said that prayer and self-knowledge, they really enable a person to grow in freedom. And prayer and self-knowledge are what he called basic elements of Christian existence. And he said they're also precious elements for finding one's place in life.
Ashley, I started to say I found it fascinating in reading a little bit about this morning's audience that he tied in what he calls spiritual passwords and temptation. I thought it was super interesting because I've actually thought of that myself. Yeah. You know, prayer is like one giant internet. You know, we're all connected to the saints, right. You know, in a spiritual way, connected to our Blessed Mother, connected to Jesus. And so the Holy Father alluded to a spiritual password.
Yeah, these passwords, this concept of finding, by knowing oneself, it helps one to have this password or this access into the heart so that you can understand what is most important to you, what you're most sensitive to. And of course, he related that to just like today in this information age, the spiritual life has those same types of passwords.
Absolutely. Additional final message from the Holy Father this morning?
John, you know, he also specifically asked for prayers for especially those in Ukraine. He again used that phrase that the martyred of Ukraine, and he asked for the gift of peace.
Well, I know that Ukraine is very much on the Holy Father's mind because he, on Sunday during the Angelus that he does every Sunday, he actually appealed directly to President Putin of Russia for an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that intention?
Well, that was quite interesting because the fact that, as you pointed out, John, he dedicated the entire Angelus message to that this past Sunday, which of course shows how near and dear this is to the Pope's heart and how he feels that this is a message of great urgency. And he asked Putin to stop what he called the spiral of violence and death, and to do that not only for the people of Ukraine who are being killed, especially children, the Pope spoke about, but also for the sake of the people of Russia. And in addition to appealing to Putin, he also appealed to the president of Ukraine, asking Zelensky to be open to serious proposals for peace. And of course, asking all of the faithful to continue to implore the heavens for peace.
The Holy Father, being a visionary and having such a spiritual perspective, if I may put it that way. He understands that, you know, this war in Ukraine, you know, could explode into a third world war or God forbid, a nuclear conflict. So everything and anything that needs to be done to bring peace, obviously, is so much appreciated. And it's great to see the Holy Father. I know he has that on his heart and on his mind.
Yes, indeed. He really is making it clear that, especially yesterday with the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron of Italy, calling especially for this message of peace throughout the world.
For sure. Meanwhile, more political news in Italy. We talked about it recently. Apparently, there's been some protests around the country. People trying to send a message to the new prime minister, Giorgia Meloni. Yes. What is going on there?
Well, this is very interesting, John. So in 50 cities throughout Italy, there were marches organized by various women's groups to send our new prime minister designate Giorgia Meloni a message. Now, Meloni is pro-life. She is anti-euthanasia. These women marched the streets in defiance of Italy's Law 194, which is the 1978 law guaranteeing women the right to terminate a pregnancy within the first 90 days of pregnancy. And they want to let Meloni know that they are not going to tolerate a change to the law. So they're getting nervous because of her pro-life stance that this could happen. Now, Meloni, at this point, she has not said that she will abolish the law or even that she will modify the law. But what she does has made clear is that she wants to provide what she calls other options. So she'd like to offer financial support to women, especially women, she says, who feel that they may not have any alternatives. And she has been very vocal in praising the work of crisis pregnancy centers throughout Italy and really in inhaling the freedom of guaranteeing the freedom of conscience to healthcare providers who do object to carry out abortions in Italy. And to give you a little bit of understanding here, there is a very high number of conscientious objectors in Italy amongst doctors. So about two-thirds of gynecologists, that is according to Italian news, an Italian news report, says that they are conscientious objectors and will not perform abortions. So these women felt it necessary to send Meloni a message. But certainly for us, this is certainly a ray of hope that this support of life will come into this country of Italy.
Well, it sure looks like your new prime minister is dealing with some of the same issues that conservative politicians are dealing with here at home in the U.S.
Yes, exactly. And yesterday I read a very interesting quote by the great philosopher Russell Kirk, who talked about that really what should be in the heart of all of our minds is love, and how everything we do, every law we make, every move we make is leading all of us back to divine love, so that we can figure out through all of our differences of opinion how we get not only ourselves but each other to heaven too, John.
That sounds right up our alley. It's all about love at the end of the day. What's the latest, real briefly, about the Vatican finance trial?
Yes, so it has resumed. And of course, this is all revolving around, you probably recall, that London investment property that the Vatican paid about the equivalent of $400 million for. 41 witnesses are being called now in this part of the trial. This trial has been going on for a long time. It started back in July of 21. And of course, 10 people have been charged with crimes, including Cardinal Angelo Becciu. He's the former second-ranking official at the Secretary of State and the highest-ranking Vatican official ever to be charged or to be tried in this way. So he is facing charges for allocating money from the Secretary of State to Caritas in his native region. He is facing charges for hiring a consultant who they was charged with setting up what you could call a parallel diplomacy system, working on freeing Catholic hostages in conflict zones, taking in money from the Vatican to use for this purpose, but using the balance of the money that did not go towards the freedom of hostages for herself. And of course, she says she didn't have a contract. She can use the money any way she wishes. So it's quite interesting as all of this is happening. We're going to hear from, and in this phase of the trial, we'll hear from Gendarmeria, in other words, Vatican Police Force. We'll hear from the very director of that holding company that controlled the purchase of that property in London, and also a technical consultant who's been looking at the financial operations. And then the Vatican's Auditor General, who has said that he was asked the question of, did the Pope know about this land deal? At first he said no, and then he revised his statement that he can't be certain that the Pope didn't know. The property is no longer in Vatican's possession. It was sold to Bain Capital for about $223 million. So again, that $400 million was sold for that price. And one of the other major questions that's being looked at is, did the money touch the Peter's Pence Fund, so the charitable fund of the Vatican? So the Auditor General says that it definitely was indeed Peter's Pence money. So the key question here, John, is how and why the Secretary of State's investments were made, of course, in hopes of achieving greater transparency.
And when it's all said and done, we'll find out the real story.
Yes.
In the final moments that we have, yesterday, today, really a big feast for our Catholic faith.
Yes.
Obviously, the great Saint Francis of Assisi yesterday, and we're celebrating the memorial of Saint Faustina Kowalska today, which brings me to these memories of a full Saint Peter's Square for her canonization with Saint John Paul II. Great times there. A lot of celebrations going on in Italy.
Indeed. Well, you know, John, right here in Rome, today on her feast day, thousands are making pilgrimage to the Church of Santo Spirito in Sassia, Church of the Holy Spirit. And this church was named by Pope St. John Paul II as the Divine Mercy Sanctuary in Rome. So people go there, especially with this devotion, and there is a relic of St. Faustina there. So on this special day, what they have done is there's a life-size painting of her standing up, and it's a tall vertical painting, and they've placed it above the high altar. And so people are coming in, spending time in prayer there, and then spending time in prayer in front of the relic of St. Faustina herself. And then, of course, across the chapel there is a relic of Pope St. John Paul II as well. So it's a very special place of divine mercy right here in Rome on this day. And then, John, you asked also about St. Francis. And yeah, sure enough. So I mentioned earlier in our chat today that St. Francis of Assisi is a patron of Italy. So this past feast day yesterday celebrated 83 years since he was named a patron of Italy. That was by Pope Pius XII in 1939. And Francis was named along with St. Catherine of Siena as patrons of Italy. So in 2005, Italian Parliament called the feast day of Francis, the 4th of October, the National Day of Peace and Fraternity. And in addition to many churches having special novenas of prayers, processions, also blessings of animals on this day, right in Assisi, there is an oil lamp near his tomb. It's a votive lamp. And traditionally, each of the 20 regions of Italy takes turns each year in providing the oil for the lamp. So to express this idea of living in peace and fraternity, even within our own young nation here of Italy. And this year, since all of these festivities had been canceled for the last 2 years, our President Sergio Mattarella, who, yes, he went himself and actually was there to give the oil ceremoniously on behalf of Italy. And he himself has just had his 81st birthday. So it was just 2 years before he was born that St. Francis was named the patron of Italy. So it was a very special celebration. And of course, Italians love their patron very dearly. So St. Francis of Assisi, St. Faustina, pray for us.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.